Welcome back to the Kurdish Research Audio Archive.
It's good to be back.
Today, we're looking into something really fascinating. The potential connections, historically, culturally, between Mithraism...
Of ancient religion, right?
Exactly. And the origins of the Kurdish people.
Yeah. The Learner sent over a great batch of research materials on this. It covers both Mithraism itself and the whole complex picture of Kurdish ethnogenesis.
So our plan is to work through these sources, try to pull out the key ideas, see where the potential links might be, and what scholars are still debating.
Sounds good. We've got stuff on Iranian Mithra, Roman Mithras.
The differences there are important.
Definitely. And then the theories about Kurdish origins, the pre-Islamic religious scene in those areas.
And even possible links to modern traditions like Yazidism and Yarsinism.
So it's quite a journey through history and religion we're setting out on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's get started unpacking the evidence. Oh, Hannah the Chai Lady is here. Roj Bosh Hannah.
Ah, perfect timing.
Let's see. Takes a sip.
Mm.
A little bitter today. Yeah. Definitely needs more sugar. But the cardamom is lovely and strong.
Good cardamom is essential.
It is. Perfect for contemplating ancient mysteries, wouldn't you say?
Couldn't agree more.
All right, that was a refreshing pause. Let's get back to our exploration.
Right. Mithraism. Where do we begin?
Well, the sources point straight to its origins in Iranian religious traditions. We're talking really early, the deity Mithra or Mitra in the Vedic texts.
Way back in the Indo-Iranian period, so before 1400 BCE.
And this early Mithra was like the guardian of contracts.
Contracts, oaths, truth, social order, also associated with light and kingship. A pretty central figure.
Now, the sources mention Zoroaster's reforms. They didn't explicitly mention Mithra, did they?
No, and they actually challenged bull sacrifice, which might have been linked to early Mithra worship. But Mithra wasn't erased. He was sort of integrated into Zoroastrianism as a Yazada.
A Yazada. Remind us what that is.
Think of it as a venerable being, a kind of divine helper or spirit worthy of reverence. And the Mir Yasht, a hymn in the Younger Avesta, really paints this grand picture of Mithra.
Oh, so.
As the, you know, all-observing god of heavenly light, a powerful warrior fighting evil, protector of the righteous. Quite the portfolio.
Definitely sounds important. But then we have the Roman version, right? Roman Mithras.
Yes, and that's distinct. It pops up around the first century CE, spreads like wildfire across the Roman Empire.
And a big question in the sources seems to be, how much continuity was there between the Persian original and this Roman cult?
Exactly, because the Roman version had its own unique thing, special iconography, that those underground temples, the Mithraea.
Right, and the central image. The Tauroctony.
Mithra slaying a bull in a cave's super iconic.
Surrounded by all those symbolic figures, the dog, snake, scorpion, raven.
And the torchbearers, Kaltz and Cotopates. Often Sol and Luna, the sun and moon, are there too.
And this scene, the bull slaying, it's kind of the core mystery, isn't it? It's not clearly there in the Iranian traditions we were just talking about?
Precisely. It's a real puzzle. What did it mean?
Interpretations in our sources suggest themes like creation, regeneration, cosmic order. Maybe even linked to astrology.
Yeah, astrological events are one theory. Other ideas include the Romans adapting Greek themes, or maybe it does connect back to some pre-Zoroastrian Iranian bull sacrifice tradition that wasn't widely documented.
So still very much debated among scholars.
Absolutely.
And this Roman Mithraism, it was structured, wasn't it? Like a mystery cult.
Very much so. Hierarchical, with seven grades of initiation, raven, nymphus, soldier, lion, Persian, sunrunner, father.
Wow, quite the progression.
They had communal meals, a strong focus on astrology, and Mithras was often identified with Sol Invictus.
The unconquered sun.
Right.
And who joined this cult? Where did it spread?
It was particularly popular among Roman soldiers, which explains some of its geographic spread. Also administrators, freedmen, merchants.
And it established a strong presence in places relevant to our main question, like Anatolia and Mesopotamia.
Yes, definitely areas overlapping with or near historical Kurdish regions.
And interestingly, the Roman followers themselves called their cult Persian, associated it with Zoroaster.
They did, which is fascinating. Our sources suggest this might have been a kind of invented tradition.
Why would they do that? A little bit more. Legitimacy. Ancient authority.
That seems to be the thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
Claiming this ancient, respected Persian origin could add a lot of weight and mystique to their relatively new cult.
Makes sense. Okay, let's pivot now to Kurdish origins.
Hey, and here, the sources are unanimous on one thing. It's complex.
No simple answer. lots of ongoing debate about Kurdish ethnogenesis.
Right. It looks like it was probably a long process, an amalgamation of various ancient tribes over millennia.
And the name Kurd itself might not have always been an ethnic label.
Potentially, yeah. It might have started as more of a socioeconomic term, maybe geographic, before evolving into an ethnic identifier.
Who are some of the proposed ancestors mentioned in the materials?
Several groups come up. The Medes are a big one. Their empire opened geographically. And Median is related linguistically to Kurdish. Then there are the Carducci, those mountain tribes Xenophon wrote about encountering.
Uh-huh.
Also the Gutians and various other peoples from the Zagros Mountains region.
So the current thinking leans towards a mix.
Yes, a fusion of Indo-European groups migrating in and mixing with the indigenous populations already living there.
And the religious landscape before Islam arrived in these areas.
Incredibly diverse. You had indigenous beliefs. Certainly Zoroastrianism had a presence, maybe Mithraism, Judaism, Christianity, Manichaeism.
A real melting pot, which naturally leads to syncretism.
Exactly, the blending of different beliefs and practices. And some sources do suggest that Mithra worship might have been quite prominent in these areas before Zoroastrianism really took hold, or before Islam.
If that's true, how might that earlier presence have shaped what came later?
That's a great question. It could mean that some underlying ideas or symbols persisted, even if the overt worship changed, maybe influencing how later religions were adopted or adapted locally.
Let's look at the archaeological evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Roma Mithraea. They've been found in Anatolia.
Yes. Sites like Dolish, Purge, Erikanda, Zurzavan Fortress. These show Roman Mithraism was present.
And often linked to the Roman military.
Correct. Now, these sites are in regions close to or overlapping with historical Kurdistan.
But the key point is,
the sources suggest there isn't clear proof that local indigenous populations adopted this Roman form independently of that Roman presence. It seems tied to the Romans themselves.
What does that imply about cultural exchange back then? Maybe it wasn't always a simple two-way street? Or maybe the Roman version was just too tied to Roman identity.
Could be both. Perhaps it remains somewhat exclusive, or maybe local traditions were simply stronger or more appealing to the indigenous groups.
What about Mesopotamia under the Parthians?
There, the Iranian worship of Mithra seems to have been quite significant, possibly even more so than what we'd call Orthodox Zoroastrianism, especially among the ruling class.
The name Mithridates, common among Parthian kings, points to that, right?
Absolutely. It literally means gift of Mithra. But again, evidence for the specific Roman mystery cult style of Mithraism in Mesopotamia proper is limited outside of known Roman military outposts.
Okay, so Iranian Mithra, yes. Roman Mithra is mostly just with Romans. What about the Zagros Mountains, the Kurdish heartland?
There's some intriguing evidence there. Diyarbakir, for instance, has paintings that some interpret as depicting Mithra.
With both Iranian and Roman elements.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Suggesting maybe a unique local blend or form of worship developing there.
Interesting.
And another site, Rabana Merkli, a Parthian-era settlement in Iraqi Kurdistan. It has what might be a sanctuary for Anahita,
the Iranian water goddess.
Right. Which shows there was local investment in these kinds of Iranian religious cults during that period. It wasn't just something imposed from outside.
And some local traditions today, like celebrating Yelda Night.
Yes, the winter solstice celebration. It's sometimes linked, in folk tradition at least, to the birth of Mithra.
It makes you wonder how these echoes persist, even if the direct line is blurry.
Cultural memory is a powerful thing.
Which brings us to the final part of our sources. Potential survivals in modern Kurdish syncretic religions. Yazidism and Yarsinism.
Right. And the Yazidism hypothesis comes up here.
Explain that briefly.
It's a scholarly theory, debated, mind you, proposing that Yazidism and Yarsinism might stem from a common pre-Islamic Kurdish religious system distinct from Zoroastrianism. This hypothetical Yazidism could have interacted with early Mithra worship.
Okay, so let's look at Yazidism first. Formed around the 12th century CE with Sheikh Adi. It blends Sufi mysticism with older local beliefs.
Exactly. And potential links to Mithraism, or at least related Iranian ideas, include figures like the angel Sheikh Shams.
Associated with the sun.
Yes, which obviously resonates with Mithra's solar connections. Also, prayers directed towards the sun, the idea of seven holy beings or angels.
Seven, like the seven grades in Roman Mithraism, or the seven Amishas Pentas in Zoroastrianism.
Could be echoes of either, or perhaps an older shared Indo-Iranian concept. There are also suggestions of possible remnants of bull sacrifice traditions, and even the architecture of the main sanctuary at Lailush might hold clues.
So Yazidism is often seen as preserving older, maybe pre-Zoroastrian Iranian elements.
That's a common perspective, yes, though heavily overlaid with later Sufi and Islamic influences. Regarding Sheikh Shams and the sun, it's an association, but the sources don't necessarily draw a direct one-to-one parallel with Mithrasol Invictus. The specific theology and role are distinct within Yazidism.
Got it. And Yarsinism, merging a bit later, 14th, 15th century with Sultan Shah.
Similar pattern. Blending Sufism with older Iranian traditions, potential links include tracing its own origins back to ancient Indo-Iranian strata.
What else?
Holiness of the sun and fire, which is broadly Iranian, of course. A belief in seven divine companions or manifestations. Again, that number seven.
And a strong emphasis on truth hack.
Yes, which echoes Mithra's role as guardian of truth and contracts.
So, some scholars suggest Yarsinism and Yazidism might both come from a shared ancient West Iranian religious substrate.
A substrate that also influenced or was related to the traditions that became Mithraism.
Which raises the question, if they share ancient roots, how did they diverge? And can we pinpoint specific elements that truly connect back to something like proto-Mithraism before all the later blending?
And that's the challenge. The layers of syncretism over centuries make tracing direct lineage extremely difficult.
So what's the overall conclusion from the sources we've reviewed?
I think the main takeaway is that the relationship is complex and probably largely indirect. Meaning, yes, Iranian mithril worship was present in the regions where proto-Kurdish groups lived. That's clear.
Yeah.
But the Roman mystery cult seems mostly tied to the Roman military presence, not a widespread indigenous adoption.
And faiths like Yazidism and Yarsinism.
They might contain echoes, yes. Resonances of ancient Iranian beliefs that could be related to Mithraism, but proving a direct, unbroken line. That's very tough because of all the syncretism and later historical developments.
Yet the association persists, in some sources, in local traditions, Kurds and Mithra.
It does, which suggests perhaps a cultural memory or at least a perceived connection that holds significance, even if the precise historical pathway is, well, nuanced.
So, as we wrap up this contribution to the audio archive, it's clear there isn't a simple yes or no answer.
Not at all. It's a rich tapestry, like you said earlier, woven with solid historical evidence, but also scholarly debate and these enduring cultural echoes.
A direct line might be hard to trace, but the presence of Mithraic traditions in their various forms within the world of the proto-Kurdish groups seems undeniable.
Agreed.
We hope this exploration has given you, our listener, some valuable insights into the complexities here, highlighting the crucial differences between Iranian Mithra and Roman Mithras.
The really intricate history of how the Kurdish people emerged.
And the fascinating ways later, Kurdish religious traditions like Yazidism and Yarsinism blended different influences.
The questions that remain are really intriguing too, aren't they?
Definitely. They invite more exploration. What might new archaeology in the Zagros Mountains turn up, for example?
Or could deeper linguistic analysis of Yazidi and Yarsani sacred texts shed more light on those pre-Islamic roots?
Exactly. Lots of avenues still to investigate. Thank you for sharing your sources and sparking this really interesting journey into the past.
Thank you. It's been a fascinating discussion.